This is the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Coming up, what the merger of nonprofits Colorado West Land Trust and Black Canyon Regional Land Trust means for conservation in our region. Governor Jared Polis is alarmed by an increase in COVID-19 cases over the past week, and low-income families in Colorado are at risk of losing utility service as temperatures begin to drop. First, here's Jody Peterson with headlines.
Mesa County is once again tightening its pandemic restrictions after several weeks of increased cases of COVID-19, according to the Grand Junction Sentinel. The total number of people allowed to gather will be reduced to 300 people or 50% of capacity, whichever is less. Under the previous variants, the limit was 500 people. Masks will continue to be required, and youth sports participants will now have to wear masks during play. Mesa County has consistently seen double-digit positive tests for the last several weeks, well above the infection rate needed to allow the county's more lax restrictions to continue. In Delta County news, the Delta Police Department is looking to build a new facility as it has outgrown its current location, reports the Delta County Independent. The City Council approved a $55,000 contract to determine a new location and come up with a concept design for a new facility. In the last decade, the town's police force has grown by nearly one quarter to 25 full-time personnel. Also from the Delta County Independent, Delta has approved a 2021 strategic plan that includes making Main Street more walkable, improving broadband services, developing the riverfront, and increasing housing options. Crime and safety are also addressed. The plan is meant to guide conversations for the City Council and local development and economic agencies. Finally, the deadline on Delta County COVID-19 relief grants for local businesses is October 31st, not the end of November, as reported previously on KVNF from information in the Delta County Independent. The Democratic candidate for the 3rd Congressional District has gotten another endorsement, reports the Grand Junction Sentinel. Russell George, a former Speaker of the Colorado House, has thrown his support behind Diane Mitch Bush, who is a former state representative. George is a Republican and a native of Rifle, where Mitch Bush's GOP opponent, Lauren Boebert, operates a restaurant. For KVNF News, this is Jody Peterson.
Governor Jared Polis says Colorado is continuing to see an alarming increase of coronavirus cases. Capitol Coverage reporter Scott Franz has more.
Speaking to reporters at the governor's mansion, Polis appeared to be more concerned about the virus than he has been in recent months. He said Colorado recorded more than 1,000 new cases on Saturday, a first for the state. And he said more than 5% of people getting tested in recent days are finding out they have the disease.
We need to get this under control now.
Polis is urging residents to limit their social interactions to try and stop the trend, which is being driven by new cases in Denver and Adams counties. But he is not planning any new statewide restrictions. He says if the trend continues, the state's hospital capacity could be overwhelmed. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
With winter just around the corner, Colorado's communities of color and low-income families are disproportionately at risk of seeing their power cut off due to unpaid utility bills. Eric Galatis from Colorado News Connection has the story.
Thousands of jobs were lost in the economic fallout from the coronavirus pandemic and energy use spike during lockdowns. Luke Ilderton with Energy Outreach Colorado says this year's unusually hot summer and high number of air quality alert days due to wildfires have put additional strain on the state's most vulnerable residents.
Opening windows was not an option because of the hazard of the smoke and particulate matter that was floating around. So that really added to some enormous electric consumption and bills that now consumers are having to face because the moratoriums have been lifted.
Ilderton says creating energy equity in Colorado, ensuring that all families can access essentials such as power and water, regardless of their ability to pay, will take work. Trust must be restored after families received alarming notices demanding payment, and Ilderton says his group is working to educate utility companies about the realities facing struggling residents. Nearly 179 million Americans are at risk of losing service, according to the National Energy Assistance Directors Association. Mark Wolf is the association's executive director. He says there should be a basic universal guarantee that families can't be shut off if they fall behind on their bills.
We have to fund adequately programs like the low-income homeowners assistance program. It's a very simple program. It's essentially a block grant, and we help people pay their energy bills. So those are the kinds of things that I think of when I think of energy equity, and they're all achievable.
Ilderton notes that utility companies have a financial incentive to keep customers connected. It's expensive to send someone out in person to ensure that gas is turned off safely. He says reaching out to companies directly to negotiate can stop the disconnection process before it gets started.
I would strongly encourage them to reach out to their utility provider, talk to them about what a payment plan might look like and what they might be able to afford and the time they might need to pay back that debt.
This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
The nonprofit Colorado West Land Trust has just completed a merger with Black Canyon Regional Land Trust after working together closely over the past several years. Here to tell us more is Conservation Director Ilana Moyer. So what do land trusts do exactly?
Land trusts work with landowners in a collaborative way to ensure that their lands are conserved for future generations. So the land can stay in the family, can stay in ranching, can stay in farming, can stay available for wildlife habitat or public access forever.
Where geographically do you focus your conservation efforts, and how much land has been conserved in the region by your groups over the years?
Yeah, so between Colorado West Land Trust, now in our merged formation, we cover Mesa County, Delta County, Montrose, San Miguel, and Ouray County, as well as a little bit of Gunnison County. So we like to say the Book Cliff down to the San Juan Mountains. And we've conserved just over 120,000 acres of private land between the two organizations that are now one.
My guest is Ilana Moyer, Conservation Director at Colorado West Land Trust. This merger means both organizations will move forward operating as one, keeping the name Colorado West Land Trust, headquartered in Grand Junction with an office in Montrose. Why the merger and why now?
So the merger came about. Both land trusts felt like we would better serve the community as one entity. There was some economy of scale with going to a merger. And with COVID happening this year and the pandemic, it was just a really great time to become one entity consolidated under Colorado West and better serve Western Colorado with one voice.
Before we go, what's your message to landowners and supporters of more connected trails or other benefits of conservation who are listening and want to support your work?
We are at ColoradoWestLandTrust.org. We have a membership. You can become a member of the organization and support our work. We also love to have volunteers help us with trail building days. And if you are a landowner interested in conserving your land, part of my job that I love the most is coming out and meeting with people and sharing what we do and learning what landowners love about their property and how we might work together. So don't be shy about getting in touch with us.
That's Ilana Moyer, Colorado West Land Trust. Thanks for speaking to KVNF and congrats on the merger.
Thank you for having us.
That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. On our website, kvnf.org, members can click to register for Monday night's annual meeting at 5:30 p.m., conducted via Zoom.